Chapter 85. The Prime Minister's Rolls braked to a stop before the huge jetliner bearing the presidential seal. Secret Service men exited the cars behind and discreetly placed themselves around the boarding ramp. Inside, Sarva leaned forward and unfolded a burled walnut vanity table from the rear of the front seat. Then he opened a cabinet, produced a crystal decanter of Seagram's Crown Royal whiskey, and poured two small goblets. "Here's to two old and close friends who have covered a long haul." "That we have," said the President with a weary sigh. "If anyone ever found out how you and I secretly worked together all these years to formulate a single nation concept, we'd both be shot for treason." Sarva smiled faintly. Drummed out of public office, perhaps, but surely not shot. The President thoughtfully sipped the whiskey. Strange how a casual conversation between a young Minister of Parliament and a freshman senator in front of a fireplace at a hunting lodge so many years ago could change the course of history. "The right time and place for a chance meeting of two men who shared the same dream," said Sarva, thinking back. "The merging of the United States and Canada is inevitable. If not in the next 2 years, then in the next 200. You and I simply worked together to advance the timetable. I hope we don't live to regret it." "A unified continent with nearly the population and landmass of the Soviet Union is nothing to regret. It may well prove to be the salvation of both countries." "The United States of Canada," said Sarva. "I like the sound." "How do you read the future?" "The maritime provinces, Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, and New Brunswick, are now cut off from the rest of Canada by an independent Quebec. They'll see it in their best interests to apply for statehood in the coming months. Manitoba and Saskatchewan will follow. An easy decision for them because they've always had close ties with your northwestern farm states. Next, my guess is that British Columbia will open negotiations. Then, with the Pacific and Atlantic Ocean ports gone, the other provinces will gradually fall into line. And Quebec? The French will temporarily exult in their independence, but in the cold light of unavoidable economic hardship, they'll come to accept statehood as a pretty good bargain after all. And Britain, how will they react? Same as they did with India, South Africa, and the other colonies. Bid a reluctant goodbye. What are your plans, my friend?" "I shall run for president of Quebec," Sarva answered. "I don't envy you. It will be a hard, dirty fight." "Yes, but if I win, we win. Quebec will be one step closer to joining the Union. And, most important, I'll be in a position to guarantee the flow of electrical energy from James Bay, and make sure that you are included and benefit from the development of your oil field discovery in Ungava Bay." The President set his empty goblet on the vanity table and looked at Sarva. "I'm sorry about Danielle. The decision to tell you about her liaison with Henri Villon didn't come easy. I wasn't certain how you'd take it, or if you'd even believe me." "I believed you," said Sarva sadly. "I believed you because I knew it to be true. If only there had been another way." There wasn't. Nothing was left to say. The President opened the car door. Sarva took hold of his arm and held him back. "One final question must be settled between us," he said.
"Go ahead."
"The North American Treaty. If all else fails, will you force Canada to abide by the terms?"
"Yes," the President replied, and there was a hard glint in his eyes. "There is no turning back now. If I have to, I will not hesitate to enforce the treaty."